The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of GodQuest Ministries.
Eric Hoven here, along with Paul Taylor with Your Creation Today. Is it possible that atheists don't know anything at all? That's what we're talking about today on the Creation Today Show from Pensacola, Florida.
And on the Creation Today Show today, we're going to be talking about our recent visit to the Reason Rally in D.C., talking about how you approach an unbeliever with the gospel. We'll also be giving you a great tool for finding about creation ministers around the country.
That's right.
And we'll be discussing fuzzy words.
Those things are so cute. I love those cute little fuzzy words. If you have questions, this is your show. Send them into questions@creationtoday.org. Remember, we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. Welcome to season two of the Creation Today Show. Paul, can you believe we did it?
It's been a long haul, but
this is the second year we've been able to do this show. I can't believe it's lasted so long.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of response to it. Millions of letters.
Millions of letters?
Well, thousands of letters.
Thousands of letters have come in.
Okay, hundreds of letters.
Hundreds of letters have come in about the show.
Several letters.
Well, okay, we've gotten
Well, actually, I've got a letter here.
That's the one from my mom. She love the show.
But it did come flooding in.
Oh, it did. Yeah, well, good. Yeah. Well, we've definitely had a good time with the show over the past year, and are looking forward to several guests already lined up for season two. Really excited about that.
And we've got some amazing guests. We've got people like Jay Seagutz.
Yes, man, what an incredible, brilliant mind talking about the God of the universe. I love it. I love what he's done.
And also our old friend, John Mackay.
John Mackay is going to be joining us in later episodes, so we invite you to tune in once a week as we continue to teach you about creation today, what's going on right here, right now. Well, coming up in this show, we do have a lot of good stuff for you. Lots and lots of great stuff. But we got a brand new segment.
An occasional segment, because people have been asking, they want some answers to questions.
All right, let's get some answers to questions.
They want a test to see whether how much your brain is working on the subject of creation.
Well, the Bible says be ready always, so we're going to see if we are ready always.
So here's a new segment called Rapid Response, where we are going to test Eric Hoven's knowledge of creation matters and see whether he can answer questions.
Atheist,
on
you're
the
ready.
Clock.
This is for you.
We have 2 minutes for you to answer as many questions as you can.
All right. Eric Hoven. Timer, please.
Your name, please.
Eric Hoven.
Your occupation.
Evangelist.
And your chosen specialist subject?
God.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, that's not the questions.
So, well, your time...
Oh, I felt like I did good on those. Okay.
Your time starts now. Did God use the Big Bang to create the universe?
No, he did not use the Big Bang. It's interesting. The Big Bang says the world came from nothing, and God says the world came from nothing. So they both have the same starting point. Creation says the world came from nothing. So they got the same starting point. However, the Big Bang idea says that nobody did it. Obviously, creationists say God did it.
Good. Are there two creation accounts in Genesis?
No.
I'll have to help you with this one.
Common misunderstanding. There's not two creation accounts. Genesis chapter 1 gives the overview. Genesis chapter 2 goes back and reviews what happened on day 6 specifically of creation. So in chapter 1, God makes all the animals and then makes man. In chapter 2, he makes man and then makes one of each kind of animal to bring him to Adam to see what he would call him.
That's great. How did a 600-year-old man build a wooden boat for millions of animals?
The question is flawed. There probably were not millions of animals. There's a new study called Baraminology tracing land-dwelling animals back to the original kinds. There's probably only about 8,000 different kinds of animals originally, not millions. And we know from God's word as our authority that Noah did it with his three sons, so they built the ark.
Brilliant. You're going to look at this one. This is a hard one. Where did Cain get his wife?
Cain had to marry a sister. So that was their only choice. There was no genetic load, no deformed chromosomes. Cain had to marry a sister. After that, it got to cousins and things like that. And today, if you marry any closer than a cousin, you get a redneck. But, well, I don't know. It was a little rude. Sorry, rapid response. Go ahead.
Only allowed to happen in Alabama.
That's right.
So, why
Tennessee occasionally. We love you guys in Alabama and Tennessee.
If I was in Britain, I'd say Norfolk. Why do you believe it? Why do you believe in Genesis instead of in science?
Misunderstood question. We believe in both Genesis and science. All the science that we see today actually supports what God's Word says. You got a new small group curriculum called the 6 Days of Genesis.
It
just simply goes through the science and the 6 Days of Genesis. So they go perfectly together. They're not in conflict at all.
And another question here. When you're trying to think about evolution, how can all these scientists all be wrong?
How can all... I like the way Jay Siegert said it when we were talking to him a couple weeks ago. He said, do all scientists believe that the Bible is the infallible, inspired word of God?
No, they don't.
Well, how could they all be wrong? Just because a lot of people believe something doesn't make it right. They used to think that that you were sick because you had bad blood. All the scientists used to think that big rocks fall faster than little rocks. Just because all the scientists believe something doesn't necessarily make it true. And that's what we're after, is truth, and it starts with the foundation of God's Word.
And your final question then, Mr. Hovind. Isn't creation divisive?
Is creation divisive? No, it's not, if you're interested in the truth. But those that don't want the truth, I guess it would be divisive, because the truth pushes people away sometimes to go back into the darkness. You know, the Bible says if you remain in the light, if you'll stay sitting in the light, your eyes literally adjust, you get to know the truth, and that truth is what will set you free. That phrase comes from that starting point, is if you stay in the light, if you remain in the light, then you'll be my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, no, creation really isn't divisive when it comes to if you want to know the truth. But if you don't want to stand on God's Word as your authority, of course, there's going to be a conflict there.
Well, that's very impressive. You know, we try and answer questions on this show, and you've managed to answer 8 questions very, very rapidly indeed.
So it's more than we did all last season. No, I guess we answered a lot of questions last season. Oh, man. Well, that is fun. Okay, you're going to get grilled next time then, okay? We're going to see how you think off the cuff here.
See if I can think fast on the feet.
You know, we do have a lot of questions like these that come in that are really common questions. A great resource for you, by the way, a great resource is the Answers book. There's a series of 3 books that have a total of how many answers? Almost 100.
There's almost 100. I think there's actually 99 answers altogether in those 3 books.
They were going to write another book, but that's another story. Did you get that one? Another story? Never mind. The Answers book series goes through common questions and objections to the Bible, just like these, that really do have great answers if you're willing to look for them.
That's right. It's well worth getting that. And of course, if you've got youngsters around, then you want to get some information about creation, and probably the best product there to get is the Creation Kids Club.
Wow, I'm telling you, brand new resource, Creation Kids Club, geared for ages 4 to 9 years old, and it's just fantastic. Book 1 is out, and we're looking forward to more books coming out. That really is going to be a great
resource.
That's
right, and the young lady who has written that,
Amy Webb,
and we've spoken to her, interviewed her for the show, and so we'll be playing that interview at some point soon.
You guys are really going to enjoy hearing from her.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. Hey, also, if you're in the Pensacola area, we've actually started the Creation Kids Club locally, where we get together every couple months, and we actually have activities and go out and do things with science and the Bible, and it's a lot of fun. The kids really enjoy it.
And you know, if you wanted to find out more information, then you need to come along to one of our events. And
yes.
In particular, you need to come along to the Proof of God Conference in October.
I can't stress this one enough, guys. It really is going to be phenomenal. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. We've got several incredible speakers, including Paul Taylor. That's right. Yeah. Our own Paul Taylor is going to be there. Carl Kirby from Reason for Hope Ministry is going to be there. Mark Spence from The Way of the Master is going to be there. And Seitzin Bergenkate from ProofTheyGodExists.org. It's going to be phenomenal.
And Eric's really going to be there
as well. I'll hang out as well. I'm looking forward to that.
And you know, if you want a conference much nearer to where you live, then get your church to get onto us, because we are very happy to travel and to come and talk to your church and put on a conference or an event near you.
They really are life-changing, and that's the whole point of these. Not just to talk about the creation, but to get to the Creator. Well, hey, stay tuned. Coming up, we've got some clips from the Reason Rally, the largest gathering of atheists and secular humanists in the history of the world. We were there interviewing them. You can find out what they had to say.
Join Eric Hoban and Paul Tater from creationtoday.org, along with Carl Kirby of Reason for Hope Ministries, Mark Spence of The Way of the Master, Inside Tim Brueggenkate of ProofThatGodExists.org for the Proof of God Conference in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit ProofConference.com. That's ProofConference.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-479-3466.
Thanks for tuning in to the Creation Today Show, where we bring you Christian apologetics to defend your faith using the Word of God. We count it a privilege to partner with the Category 5 TV Network. They provide the platform, bandwidth, and infrastructure needed to bring you this show. Please prayerfully consider how you can support them in their endeavor to offer quality, family-friendly broadcasting to viewers like you all around the world. Visit Category5.tv to help. And thanks so much for your continued support. That address again is Category5.tv.
Welcome back. You're watching the Creation Today Show with me, Paul Taylor, and with Eric Hovind.
Having a good time. This season two, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up for you guys. The Reason Rally was an incredible experience. Largest gathering of secular atheists and humanists in the history of the world. They had some 10, some say as many as 20,000. They were expecting 30,000, but the rain kind of drowned some of them out. So incredible time there, incredible time. I got to be honest, Paul, I think I would rather go to a rally like that and minister, almost would rather go there than any church in America.
Well, a lot of them, when you see the clips, a lot of them were very honest about what they believe.
And they reveal the truth of what they believe, and that's exactly what we want to get to.
So we'll discuss that point.
Yeah, but
coming
first,
next.
We got to talk about fuzzy words, because this is something that a friend of ours, Mike, put us onto, right? Mike Riddle?
Yes, Mike Riddle from the Creation Training Initiative. The Creation Training Initiative, he's the president of that, and he talked about fuzzy words. And fuzzy words are really when you get articles, popular scientific articles, or even TV programs, but particularly written articles in newspapers, magazines, journals, and so on, websites. And they use various phrases, which Mike likes to call fuzzy words. And they're phrases that really mean practically nothing at all. It's when they've got nothing that they've got to say on the scientific subject. And we've got a really great example of that, that as we were putting this program together, one very interesting example came up. A news report from some scientists in Britain. And
you know this would come from Britain, of course.
I know, but the news reports have been all over the place. We've had news reports on Fox News, on their website, and several British news agencies have picked it up as well. And we've chosen one from England's Daily Telegraph magazine. You can find this online, dailytelegraph.com. Telegraph.co.uk. You can find it there. Well, just let me read the headlines to you.
You're from what not going to believe this.
These scientists from the John Moores University in Liverpool have been doing some research, and the Telegraph's headline, which is one of the more polite ones, says, "Dinosaurs passing wind may have caused climate change."
Wow. That would be a bad way to go. Can we just be honest? That would be a really bad way to go.
Now, you know, it always amazes me when people publish articles, in any case, that talk about research on the subject of dinosaurs and their behavior. I mean, how can they possibly know? For example, in one part in the article, it actually says that these scientists, their study began when they began to wonder about Mesozoic methane while investigating sauropod ecology. Now, how do you investigate sauropod ecology?
No kidding. Let's study what the environment was like when the sauropods were here, when you believe they died 65 million years ago. Are you kidding me?
I mean, obviously, there are certain things you can do. You can look at what fossils were found with the dinosaurs to some extent. So there's certain things you can say, as many of us creationists will as well.
But you can't really study the ecology of the place.
The implication is it's to do with their behavior. So let's just talk about these fuzzy words.
Now, I like what you did here, and this is what I want you guys to see. He's actually gone through, and you got to learn how to do this when you're looking at a scientific article. He's gone through and you've highlighted in yellow all the fuzzy words, yes. Underlined the real science. And this is fascinating.
Check yes,
this out.
And you'll see this on the screen, but I'm just holding this piece of paper so you can see some of the yellow marks. I have highlighted phrases which are fuzzy words in yellow so that you can see the bits that they don't really know. For example,
the title.
Huge plant-eating dinosaurs may have produced enough greenhouse gas by breaking wind to alter the Earth's climate, the research suggests.
How do you even write that without laughing? Come on.
That's amazing. Like huge cows, the mighty sauropods would have generated, there's a fuzzy word phrase, would have. When people say something would have, it means they don't know it.
They're speculating
within their story. Now, this article is full of that. Just look again at this piece of paper and you can see I've covered it with loads of coloured marks. And when you've done that, you find that there is practically no science in the article
at all. Now, there is some science, and you've underlined that in blue right there.
Yeah, there's some real science. For instance, here's a sentence that says, methane is a more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide with a stronger ability to trap heat.
Now,
That is, of course, true.
Here's
another one. The figure that they've calculated for how much methane they thought these dinosaurs produced is comparable to total natural and man-made methane emissions today. Before the start of the industrial age, about 150 years ago, methane emissions were around 181 million tons per year. Now, that's true, but that's it. That's really all there is in a huge article.
And they've used that little bit of science to try to drum up all this stuff about evolution. Really, the whole motive here is to try to push the millions of years, to try to push dinosaurs going extinct millions of years ago, and the possible cause of that.
Don't be afraid of these sort of articles. That's the message that we have.
And we read scientific articles from news magazines all the time that are just like this, aren't they?
Yes. You really do not need to be a scientist to understand how silly some of these articles are. All you need is a yellow marker pen and go through and
highlight
find
the fuzzy words and understand that there's not a whole lot of real science in a lot of these articles, unfortunately. It's a lot of guesswork. Well, coming up, I've got the Reason Rally for you. So we're going to take a break right now, and then we're going to come back and talk about the Reason Rally. And I want to show you some clips of what atheists really admitted right to our cameras while we were there. We'll do that right after this. Welcome back. You're watching the Creation Today Show with myself, Eric Coven, along with Paul Taylor. We've been talking about fuzzy words, talking about how to spot those in scientific articles. I can't wait to get to this Reason Rally footage because we had a great time up there at the Reason Rally in Washington, D.C. Now, Paul, I got to tell you, going to this rally, I felt a couple different emotions. When we walked up on the rally, I was thinking, wow, how can so many people be blaspheming and cursing the God that I love? They're cursing the name of Christ, my Savior. So I almost wanted to get angry at them. And then I thought, well, at the same time, if it wasn't but the grace of God saving me, I would be in their shoes. So my heart really went out to these guys that are cursing God's name and blaspheming God's name. It really was tough.
It's incredible, isn't it? And we're gonna see some footage of your time there. What was the big sort of overriding thought that came through the interviews that you had?
There was a bunch of people there. There were a bunch of people there that were proclaiming the gospel and preaching and things like that. I really wanted to use the limited time that we had there, since it was just a one-day event. I wanted to interview people and find out, okay, do atheists actually know anything? Because it's our position that if you don't start with the God of the Bible, you don't actually know anything at all. Because without God, we can't actually have knowledge. Without the one who knows everything telling us something, then we don't know anything. And the atheist readily admitted that they don't know anything.
They don't know anything, so why are they there?
Take a look at these clips, and you will see from this montage just a couple of the interviews we did at the recent Reason Rally in Washington, D.C.
So we do have such a thing as absolute truth?
We have a truth in reality that we humans struggle to discern.
Is it possible that you don't know anything?
It is possible. I could know absolutely nothing.
Does reality exist?
Seems to be a fairly persistent illusion. Okay.
Is it possible that everything you think you know is wrong and you could not know anything?
It's possible.
It's possible that I could be wrong about everything.
I know a lot of stuff. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 3 = 5. I could go on forever doing this.
Right, so we do have knowledge. Is it possible that our knowledge could be wrong?
Well, of course.
Could you be wrong about everything you claim to know?
Not about everything, no.
Okay, what do you know for certain and how do you know for
certain? What are you driving at?
And in order to know something absolutely, basically, you have to be God. So no one can know anything absolutely.
I would say that we can know some things to a certain degree.
But can you know anything for certain?
It's hard to say.
If you say you could be wrong about everything you claim to know.
I could be. I'm not, okay. But I could be.
If you say
some theoretical universe, yes, I could be.
Then you don't know anything, because you could be wrong.
Well, we know everything that we know within a measure of certainty. Nobody ever knows anything for 100% sure.
Are you sure of that?
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Allison, is it possible you could be wrong about everything you think you know?
It's possible.
We're always wrong. But there's a world outside.
Are you right about that?
There's a world outside of our brain.
Are you right about the fact that we're always wrong?
Absolutely.
You're saying that you could be wrong and you don't know that for certain.
That's what science is all about.
No, I said it's possible that I could know nothing. I said it's possible that everything I know could be wrong. But I didn't say I didn't know anything, and I didn't say that everything I know is wrong. What I said was, is this possible?
Because observations can be inaccurate.
Is that true?
Yes.
You just said you don't deal in things that are true or false, and you said that's true.
Okay, minus slip of the tongue.
I just want to point out that the atheist is the one who thinks the Earth could be flat, and the Christian says it can't be. That's what you just said.
Well, yeah, but...
Okay, that's what I wanted to point out. Could you be wrong about everything you think you know?
It's conceivable that the universe doesn't exist.
There we go.
Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
They don't know anything at all.
And they readily admit that. You see, the Christian position really is that without God, you can't know anything. If you don't start with the one who knows everything, revealing truth to you, then you don't know anything. And that's the problem.
But what's very, very telling is that you got them to say, you know, that we don't know anything, and then you ask them, are you sure about that? Is that true?
And they said, yes, that's true, but we don't know anything. And that is the problem, is the inconsistency with the atheist worldview. The atheist worldview says, I could be wrong about everything, because, hey, that's what science is all about, is always improving and, hey, never taking anything to say that we know this now. And the reason they do that is because science has a long history of being wrong about things.
That's right.
So why are we going to take modern-day science and put it above the authority of God's Word, the one who knows everything, who's revealed something to us?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's very interesting. And, you know, quite often Christians can be guilty of talking about this probable God that they believe in. And what we're seeing from this is the importance of understanding that the atheist position is completely illogical. There is actually no way that they've got any reason for laws of logic or laws of science.
That's right. Now, my heart really does go out to them. I kind of laugh at the absurdity here of these two views, but my heart really goes out to them because the Bible teaches in 2 Timothy 2:25 that until they repent, they are never going to see the truth. And we want them to repent. We want God to grant them repentance so that they can see the truth. Okay, I got another interview clip I want to show you.
Yeah.
I got to interview a gentleman named Aaron Raw, who is famous for his rants against Christianity and against creationists in general. So this next clip is an interview I did with a portion of an interview I did with Aaron Raw. Enjoy this, and then we'll talk about it.
Can we be absolutely certain of things?
Can we be absolutely certain of things? Within the confines of whether or not, there's one level of argument, if whether we can prove that reality itself exists and isn't just an illusion. If we establish that regardless whether reality is an illusion or whether it's really real, what we perceive it to be. Within the confines of that, the laws that apply, even if this is a video game, we are still subject to those laws. Within that, we can be sure of certain things? Absolutely, yes.
So we can't have absolute certainty within this reality?
I want to say, I want to be hesitant on that, because absolute, it charges something else. It implies a whole different meaning. So in science, for example, everything is tentative. That's why it doesn't matter how solidly anything is proved. Germs, gravity, everything. We call it theory. And theory is a study. It's a body of knowledge that encompasses facts and laws and explains them in a framework that makes sense of it.
Wow. Here you have an atheist saying, we can be absolutely sure within this reality. And you say, are you sure of that? And he goes, well, not absolutely.
Yeah, got to be hesitant about that, you know, as if things in science can only be held tentatively.
Which, right.
You know, is
can that be held tentatively?
Yes.
I mean, do we hold the things that can be held tentatively? Is that tentative? I mean, are we sure of that or not? The problem is that worldview is inconsistent. That worldview is illogical. It does not make sense. And that really is the whole problem.
And what you'll notice then is, of course, that when they attempt to try and make any argument, any stepwise argument, despite themselves, they have to have some ground to stand on. And, of course, the ground that they choose to stand on will be concepts of truth and falsehood, which... they won't admit it, but they are taken from a godly worldview.
That's exactly
and cannot
right.
actually exist without presupposing the existence
so
of God.
Why do they reject the God of the Bible? I want to yes. submit to you, it is not because of their intellect, it is because of their emotions. They don't want to believe in God. I went on to ask Aaron a question. I said, hey, if I could prove God to you, would you worship him? Here was his answer.
If I could prove to your satisfaction that God, the God of the Bible exists, would you worship him?
No.
Excellent.
If I believed that God exists, and I believed that it was the Bible God that existed, I would not worship it, because it is a criminal thing. Now, if a better God existed than the one in the Bible, I still wouldn't worship it, but at least it would be worthy of respect.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you can add your voice to the conversation that's going on about the recent Reason Rally in Washington, D.C. by going to our YouTube channel, youtube.com, and search Creation Today channel, and you can check that out and add your voice to the conversation. Well, I'm really excited about all the creation things that are going on in the world today. Specifically, we got a lot of things happening in North America, and we've even got a website that we want to give you to help that
yes.
out.
Yes. Have a look at the website, visitcreation.com. That's visitcreation.com. And it is a marvelous tool so that you can find out a number of Christian ministers around the country, places that might be near you or
That's
might
right.
be talking on issues that you want to know about.
Yeah, if you're planning a vacation for this summer, check out visitcreation.com and go visit one of these creation hotspots around the country. There really are a lot more than people think. Of course, we know
Lots.
About the museum. There's way more. There's a lot more stuff that people can go and visit. And then put your money to support other Christian organizations that are trying to proclaim the truth of the gospel through the creation message.
Absolutely right.
Wow. Well, that is our show for the first episode of season two. We want to thank you guys so much for joining us. We got a lot more questions and answers coming up in future episodes of Creation Today.
Yes, and if you have questions, then don't forget to send them to questions@creationtoday.org or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/creationtoday, Twitter @creationtoday.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. God bless.
This program is available on DVD by visiting creationstore.org or by calling 877-479-3466. To order this episode, use the item number displayed on your screen.